Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's Heart 1032, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Well, it was revealed this week that a Telstra website was being used by teenagers to download amateur porn onto their mobile phones. The federal government has ordered an investigation into the downloads on the What Next website, even though Telstra has taken down the content that was deemed offensive. Family groups have expressed concern, as you can imagine, saying there seem to be no limits in place to stop children accessing the material. But more to the point, how are young people who view porn actually being affected by it? Dr. Michael Flatt is a researcher at the University of Wollongong, and he's been talking a lot about this recently. Dr. Flatt, welcome to Open House.
Thank you.
You have co-authored numerous reports on this whole thing, and in fact, you did a fairly large study with the Australia Institute back in 2003. Now, I don't know whether technology has changed enough to make that outdated or not. What did you find?
Look, I mean, our report focused on children's and young people's exposure to pornography, both in X-rated videos and via internet porn, and we found a substantial rate of exposure, that about three-quarters of 16 and 17-year-olds had accidentally seen internet porn online, large numbers of boys, far fewer numbers of girls, had deliberately looked at pornography online or via X-rated videos. Now, there's every reason to think that that level of exposure, particularly to internet porn, is likely to have increased for a couple of reasons. More and more households have the internet now. Our children are using the internet more frequently and at younger ages. And there's been no change, really, in the kinds of regulation scheme that might limit children's exposure to pornography online.
Do we have any figures for the mobile phone thing that seems to be catching
Telstra? That's been an interesting development, in fact, that web-enabled mobile phones and mobile phones allowing video images are relatively new, and certainly there's every reason to think that they, too, these new kinds of technologies will be another means through which children and young people will see sexually explicit material, whether that's accidentally or deliberately. And I think in the case of What Next, what we're talking about is, you know, probably adolescent children, so probably, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, deliberately downloading and viewing and sharing sort of sexual sites. Now, these weren't, sexual images. These weren't images showing people having sex or showing sort of full nudity, but they certainly were sexualized images, particularly of young women.
Mm. All right, let's get to the effects then. What does porn have, or what does it do to a young person who views it?
There's several kinds of effects, and there's probably four main ones, particularly when we're talking about younger children, when we're talking about, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. One of the effects that's been documented is simply that child feeling disturbed or upset by an encounter with pornographic material, because often it's an accidental encounter. Three other effects, though, that are also present, particularly among younger children, also older children. One is liberalisation, that is the kind of liberalisation of their sexual attitudes. Children and young people who've seen porn are more likely to think that their peers are sexually active, more likely to be tolerant of or accepting of premarital and extramarital sex, and so on. And of course, what judgment we make about that liberalisation of sexual attitudes, depends on our broader position on children and sexuality. The two other effects that I've been particularly concerned about, one is sexism, that pornography in general, portrays women in pretty demeaning and degrading ways and represents sex in very limited and often sexist ways. And the fourth effect, and perhaps the most troubling effect, is that exposure to pornography, particularly among adults, has been associated with tolerance for sexual violence, that is rape or sexual assault, and perpetration of sexual violence. And we don't know whether that's true among young people, but certainly I think there are good reasons to think that, say, the adolescent boys who routinely use particularly violent pornography are more likely to be tolerant towards sexual violence and even to participate in sexual violence themselves.
Okay, well, yeah, even if half of what you've said there is true, that's all very disturbing indeed. I also understand that from some of your research, you found that there was a little bit of a difference between the effects based on whether the material was deliberately or accidentally come across.
True. I mean, certainly in terms of disturbance or being upset, that's much more likely among younger children who are accidentally encountering pornographic materials, whereas, say, for older children, and certainly it's adolescent boys who are much more likely to be doing this than girls, the kind of routine use of more violent forms of pornography is likely to lead to sexually aggressive attitudes and behaviours.
Mm. We've just had it's kind of related. Mission Australia released its report this week that found that the majority of young people are worrying about body image as their primary concern rather than bullying or all the other things.
Indeed. I mean, what we're talking about these days when we talk about children and young people is a really different kind of sexual landscape. And, you know, in the first place, children are actually hitting puberty several years earlier than they were two generations ago. They're also having sex at younger ages. They're practicing, you know, a wider variety of sexual behaviours than their, you know, older generations of children were. They're also facing what is a kind of sexualised, or some people say pornographied, mainstream culture, a culture where sexual and sexual explicit images of women and sex are much more common, a kind of a pervasive part of the media landscape. And so children are growing up in a very different context.
Mm. Do you believe there should be greater regulation in place to restrict, I guess, more and more of the sexualized images we see around?
Look, I do, with one important caveat. I don't think that children are harmed by exposure to any kinds of sex-related information. In fact, I believe very strongly that children should have access to appropriate sexuality education, that we should be providing sexuality education in schools and in other forums for children and young people. Having said that, pornography in general is a very poor sex educator. It shows sex in unrealistic ways. Much of it is too explicit for, you know, children in particular. It's often sexist and sometimes violent. So pornography is a terrible sex educator. Children need sexuality education. Pornography shouldn't be playing that role. And I do think we need regulation both of technologies like mobile phones and of the internet and mainstream media to limit children's exposure to sexist and inappropriate forms of pornographic material.
Since sex education is now pretty much on the, you know, in the curriculum for most schools, should there be some sort of inclusion there when it comes to actually porn?
Look, I actually think there should be, in a sense that we should educate children and young people to look more critically at the kinds of messages about women and sex that pornography is likely to offer them. In fact, messages which are sometimes similar to those in, you know, beer advertising and so on. In a sense, we need to encourage children and young people's media literacy, their ability to look critically on and reject the kind of sexist messages of much pornography, because technological solutions are important, but there will always be, you know, a kind of race between the technology and the regulation of that technology. And so inevitably, some proportion of children will be exposed, either deliberately or accidentally, to materials which legally are only available to adults. Mm. And so regulation is important, but needs to sit side by side with the provision of kind of compelling and appropriate materials on sexuality for young people, media literacy strategies, and strategies to support parents and the community in general to try to minimise children's sort of exposure to inappropriate materials.
Okay, well, final question. What can parents actually do then who are more than concerned about this?
Sure, look, many parents are doing the right thing already. And in fact, there's been an increase in the number of parents in Australia who now monitor particularly younger children's internet use, put the computer in the lounge room, and use technological strategies such as filtering, and in fact filters these days are relatively sophisticated and allow you to set different levels of use for different, you know, different age children in your household. But certainly parents need to be conscious that typically children are seeing materials online that they're not telling their parents about, and that particularly violent and sexist pornography is one of the kinds of materials that children probably inevitably will be exposed to. And so, you know, a conversation about that kind of material needs to happen.
Mm. Okay, Michael, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
I do appreciate it. That's Dr. Michael Flood, sociology lecturer and researcher for the University of Wollongong.
We hope you enjoyed this Heart 1032 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.